Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 20th of February, Anno Domini 2010, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, things to choose, nothing to lose, because we're here to have fun. And we will start by giving you our phone numbers. Why not? Our phone number.
That's fun.
Right, is 966-JAZZ. That's 585-966-5299 or toll free 1-800-790-0415. So you give us a call and we'll get you on the air and we'll take your question and maybe we'll even answer it satisfactorily, although I'm not promising anything at this point.
Do we have to?
I'm not promising anything.
We were doing pretty good making things up in this great dartboard that we had.
We have a dartboard. Yes, no, maybe, and it depends. The biggest section is it depends. So we'll be throwing things off the dartboard pretty soon. beg your pardon. Let's start with the news. We have Microsoft. Hey, yippee, it's Microsoft. Has confirmed that the blue screen of death issue reported last week on Windows machines is caused by a rootkit. A rootkit is people get into your machine and attempt to become the administrator, which on Unix machines is called root. And so if you can root somebody, you use a rootkit. And then they own your system and they can do whatever they want. According to Microsoft, Windows systems infected with Allurion were hit with a blue screen of death errors that prevented computers from booting after the user downloaded Microsoft patch MS-10-015. The restarts are the result of modifications the Allurion rootkit made to the Windows kernel binaries, which places those systems in an unstable state, blogged Mike Reaney, director of the Microsoft Security Response Center. In every investigated incident, we have not found quality issues with security update MS-10-015. The update patched two vulnerabilities affecting the Windows kernel and was one of 13 security bulletins issued February 9th as part of Patch Tuesday. As reports of the problem came in, speculation began to center on malware being the root cause. According to Reavy, Allurion modifies Windows behavior by attempting to access a specific memory location instead of letting the operating system determine the address as it normally does when an executable is loaded. The chain of events in this case was a machine became infected, during which the malware made assumptions as to the layout of the Windows code on the machine, he explained. Subsequently, MS-10-015 was downloaded and installed, during which the location of Windows code changed. On the next reboot, the malware code crashed, attempting to call a specific address in Windows code, which was no longer the intended OS function. The versions of Allurion found to be causing the problem only infected 32-bit systems, according to Microsoft. So, our question to you is, did you get blue screened after the latest Microsoft update? And the choices are, yep, nope, haven't updated yet, my Mac has never blue screened, and you people who pay for your OSs amuse me. And so far, we have 58 votes. The largest number is, of course, nope. 60% of you say nope, and followed by you people who pay for your OSs amuse me. That doesn't mean you steal your OS. It means you use Linux. I hope you got that. Jeez and crackers. Followed by the Mac people, followed by haven't updated yet, followed by one person so far who has, in fact, gotten blue screened. Now, I know that that's not enough for you. You're going to want to say more because I know you people. So when
you're
done, they're just that way. So when you are done with your little clicking of the buttons, check out the little yellow box underneath and click on the give us your opinion. It will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Where you can check out the opinion. The question there, of course, is does this news make you more leery of updating in the future? So far,
We've got 10 people who have answered that, and so join them there. Check out what I do there at AskNick.com. I have my own set of stuff there. I do a newsletter, and it has rants and raves and tips and tricks and questions and answers and websites and all kinds of stuff. And you can join my forums there. And you can also, by the way, and this is really the exciting part, is you can search my old answers and stuff. So, and cool. The rants and raves and tips and tricks and all of that. So if you've got a question, you can generally find something that at least approximates your answer there. Now, in order to do that, of course, you have to join. But it's only $15 a year, so I can't imagine why you wouldn't do that. It's ludicrously inexpensive.
Cheaper,
and, exactly. And then when you're done with that, of course, come on back to our website at soundbites.org and join in all the fun there. In the meantime, while you're doing all of that, keep one ear on the radio because we are going to talk to Sam. Sam, where are you calling from?
Hello. Yes, Nick. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Greece.
Okie doke. What's your question?
Okay, Nick, the problem I'm having with my laptop computer is every time I boot my computer, I get this message that says Rondo, and then it says error loading lfrt.njjsgmo, and the specified module could not be found. And subsequently, I push the OK button, and this message goes away.
Yeah, you've got a
laser jet driver left over.
No, it's a Trojan.
No, it's a Trojan. Okay. It's a Trojan.
I didn't hear it all.
Yeah, it's a Trojan. And what you need to do is you need to run a program called Super Anti Spyware.
Okay, so let me write it down. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what you want
to remember all this.
Well, here's what you want to do. You want to go to a website called securitytango.com.
Okay.
All right. And if you take a look down the left-hand side, you'll see a button for Super Anti-Spyware.
Okay.
Click on that. That'll take you to their website where you can download it for free.
Okay.
Run that, and it should clean your machine. Now, once you've done that, I would suggest you go back to securitytango.com.
Okay.
Click on the Let's Dance button.
What was it? The left one?
Let's Dance.
Okay.
Because it's a tango, right? So Let's Dance, right? Then you have a Windows machine, so click on the Windows Waltz. Print out that page and follow it step by step. It'll help clean out your machine. Now, it takes a very long time to do that.
Okay.
But you need to do that because if you've got one infection, the chances are good that you've got a whole lot more.
Okay.
So all right. Definitely clean out your machine. You should be a lot better off.
Now, when I go into the Internet Explorer, I notice on my bottom right corner, it says that, let me see, what does it say? Warning, tracking cookie found and so forth, and the threat was removed. Okay?
Yeah.
On my AWG, I think.
AVG, yeah, excellent program. Yeah. One of the ones we recommend. That's good.
So it says that it's removing something.
Right.
The threat.
Right, but it didn't catch this thing. See, AVG is mostly designed to catch viruses. Super Anti-Spyware is mostly designed to catch spyware and Trojans. So you really need both.
Okay. Very well.
All right.
Okay, Nick. Well, I appreciate your answer, and keep up the good work out there helping us. Okay.
Thank you so much, Sam. Keep listening. Tell your friends.
Yeah, I certainly will. Nick.
Bye bye.
And that brings up my question that goes back to the first news story. What's the best anti-rootkit software?
That is a very good question.
I found anti-rootkit.com lists dozens of them. AVG has one, Avira has one, F-Secure has one. All the antivirus companies have one. There probably is no best one, is there?
No, there really isn't.
Got to run them all.
Best one anywhere? No. Right. All right, we're going to go back to the phones, and our next caller is Tom. Where are you calling from, Tom?
I'm calling from Penfield.
And how are things in Penfield today?
Pretty good. Light snow, but pretty nice.
Light snow. I said to somebody today. At market, I said, they said, how you doing? I said, on a beautiful sunny day like this. They said, sunny? I said, yeah, I'm from Rochester. This accounts as sunny.
Well, as my brother puts it, summer is only 3 months of bad ice fishing.
If you can see your hand in front of your face in Rochester, it's sunny. All right, what's your question, Tom?
Well, I'm running Ubuntu and Firefox, and I'm on the Jazz 90.1 website, and I've got an issue. Maybe I haven't got a plug-in I should have on here, because when I go to On the Air and click on Sound Bites, I go back to your web page, and when I'm on 90.5, once in a while when I click on it, I'll bring up a player that I can click on, and it'll bring the streaming audio up. But for some reason, on some programs, it doesn't work. And I noticed that when I'm in Ubuntu on Firefox, I don't have the live feed button up on the bar on the top of the website.
Right.
But when I'm in Windows 7 and bring up 90.1, I've got this live feed that comes up, and when I click on that, then I get the streaming audio will come in. Am I missing a plug-in here or something?
You need an MP3 streaming program like iTunes or Windows Media Player, and unfortunately neither of those exist for Linux.
MPlayer.
So MPlayer under Linux.
If you don't already have MPlayer installed,
There's also... If
VLC is actually exceptional.
Well, the thing I want to point out is that I was on here before when the Polka show was on. When I clicked on that, my media player came up. I said okay, and it streamed the audio.
Right.
But now when I do it on Sound Bites, it doesn't happen. And a few days ago, I clicked on, there was a blues program on 90.1.
Yep.
I couldn't get that one either, so it's intermittent. Some of them come through, and some of them don't.
It's the same stream. It shouldn't matter.
Yeah. It shouldn't matter.
So
that's,
I don't know what's going on there, because, I mean, it should be consistent no matter what, but it's, some of the shows come in and some of them don't. I'll do it right now. I'll click on Sound Bites, and it'll bring up your web page with no streaming audio.
Well, the streaming audio is not on our web page.
That's where I go with this. When I click on it, I go to your website, which surprises me, because you probably either get nothing or get somewhere.
So you go to the jazz901.org website.
That's where I am.
And on the right hand side of the page, in the gray button bar, there's a Listen Live button.
I don't have that.
You don't have that.
I have that when I'm in Windows on this website. When I'm in Ubuntu on this website, I do not have that Listen Live button.
The next button past Jazz Events Calendar.
There's nothing there. It's blank.
Interesting.
That's why I'm asking if there's some kind of a plug-in that I'm missing.
You might.
That's an animated button. It's probably something in Flash. But if you go to jazz901.org/listen-live.com, takes you to that page. And there's two streams, the .m3u streams, but there's also a .mp3 stream, which may work better.
Well, I've got jazz901.org.
Right, /listen-live.
I don't have the rest of that.
Type it in.
Well, also, if you were on our Soundbites website...
That Listen Live button just takes you to the Jazz page, doesn't it?
No, it takes you right to the stream. So if you are on our Soundbites website, right?
When I just typed in what Steve said to type in,
yeah.
Now I'm on the website that says Listen Live High Speed,
right,
and Low Bandwidth.
Right,
Internet.
Right. You can pick either of those M3U files to stream in your streaming player, or the MP3 file.
When I do that, it says opening Jazz 901 stream dot M3U, and when I click on that, it'll stream in.
Right.
Yeah.
It just sometimes it does this automatically, I guess, and sometimes...
That's kind of weird, and I'm not entirely certain why that would be, since the Listen Live button is just... You're in Firefox.
Right.
Have you downloaded AdThwart?
Yeah, one of the ad-blocking plugins. Well, Flash Blocker,
one of those?
Not that I know of.
Check to see if that somehow you did that, because you would see a little devil-looking character.
Adblock.
Yeah, because that Listen Live button on the Jazz webpage is an animated button that has a little equalizer bands bouncing up and down.
And like I said, I see that when I'm in Windows, but not when I'm in Ubuntu.
Right, and all it is a graphic. So it's not connecting to anything. So if it's not showing up, it's being blocked by something in Firefox.
All right. Well, at least if I type in Listen Tyson Live, I can get into what I need now.
Right, and then bookmark that page.
So that solves the issue, anyways. For
also on our website, if you open that page during the show, you'll see a whole bunch of stuff that you normally don't see. Starting with We're on the Air, and then it lets you pick a username and log in to join us in the chat room.
Yep, I see that. Yep.
And if you follow that down, the second last line in that next paragraph essentially says, of course, there's the live audio stream. And if you click on that, it takes you right to the MP3 stream.
Right. If you click on the member-supported Jazz link above, it takes you to the Jazz station.
Right, which is what it's supposed to do.
Right, yeah, the live audio stream opens that MP3 directly.
All right, well, I guess maybe I'll go back and look around.
You ought to be able to bookmark that as well as
talking about. Right. Disable that.
The other thing you can try, just for grins and giggles to make sure it's not your computer, download Google Chrome.
Okay.
Which is another web browser, and see if it works in that. And if it does, then you know that the problem is somewhere.
You just brought up another question. I tried to do that a few days ago, in Ubuntu.
Yeah.
And it seemed a little bit more complicated than I thought it should be, so I kind of gave up on Chrome for the time being.
All right, we got to go.
Okay.
That's understandable. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call. You know the numbers. I don't have time to repeat them right now, but I'll repeat them when we get back, and we will be back in just a couple minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Greece Odyssey Academy's Music and Drama Department, presenting Rags, February 18th through 21st. Written by Fiddler on the Roof author Joseph Stein, this musical tells the chapter of life for immigrants leaving Europe seeking the rags-to-riches American dream. Shows run February 18 to 21 at Greece Olympia High School Auditorium, located at 1139 Maiden Lane in Greece. The Saturday night performance will also offer an interpreter for the deaf and hard of hearing. Tickets are available at www.showticksforyou.com, at Wegmans, and at the door. For more information, you may call 966-7947.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Exodus to Jazz Productions, presenting an afternoon with the Jeremy Pelt Quintet, Sunday, February 21st, 4 p.m. at the Radisson Hotel. Doors open at 3 p.m. Tickets are on sale at all Wegmans locations and at ticketweb.com. For more information, call 733-7685 or visit exodustojazz.com.
Hi, this is Greg Lefebvre. Join me every Sunday night at 7 o'clock for Doc's Juke Joint on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. All right, now I promised you I'd give you the... that's weird. What happened there? Oh, I see. I'll give you the numbers. Don't forget, it's 966-JAZZ in the 585 area code. That's 585-966-5299 or toll free 1-800-790-0415.
What was that? Picnic?
Picnic.
Yep.
That was me. All right, here's one more piece of evidence that the Mac isn't the secure lockdown system that its proponents claim. The organizer of the Pwn to Own hacking contest says that Windows 7 is more secure than Snow Leopard. Man, if that doesn't start the calls, I don't know what will. And that Safari will be the first browser to fall victim in the upcoming hacking contest. Contest organizer Aaron Portnoy, who is the security research team lead with 3Com Tipping Point, the owner of Pwn to Own, said Safari will be the first to go. Safari will be on Snow Leopard, which isn't on the same level as Windows 7. Last year at the contest, it took only 5 seconds for a security researcher to hijack a Mac by hacking in through Safari. The year previous, it took less than 2 minutes to hack into a MacBook Air, and once again, Safari proved to be the security hole. Mac users have long claimed that Mac is more secure than Windows-based systems because of the large number of viruses, trojans, and other malware that can infect Windows PCs. Many Windows users counter that there is more malware aimed at Windows because that's where the users and the money is. Writing malware for the Mac, they argue, simply isn't worth the effort because of the Mac's relatively small market share. And they point out that Windows systems have been more secure than Macs at the Pwn2Own hacking contest. Not all hackers agree that Windows 7 is more secure than Snow Leopard. Security researcher Charlie Miller, who at the contest hacked into the Mac via Safari the last 2 years, says that Snow Leopard is as secure as Windows 7, although he adds that Safari is slightly more vulnerable than Windows-based browsers. Which do you think is more secure, Windows or the Mac? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. 5 seconds.
Well, it's because he knew about the hack and had written it in the 6 months previous.
So does everybody else.
Yep.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and Safari's the first to fall because that's the first one attacked. Because and that's what we've been saying for years now, that the Mac hasn't been a target for attackers.
The way Pwn2Own works is you get a couple of dozen people lined up, and they all start hacking at once.
Right.
At Windows, Linux, and Ubuntu machines. And this guy won because he got in less than 5 seconds.
Yep.
Ahead of the Mac of the Windows people, who took 2 minutes.
Right. And we've been saying for years that the Mac hasn't been a target for attacks because of its small market share.
But that doesn't make it secure.
Right, and every time someone says that, you know, we sort of cringe and say, well, now you're going to make it a target. And now we're seeing that it is becoming a target. We're running into a lot of the same fake antivirus messages that pop up on the internet that people are putting in their credit card information to, and and it's becoming a widespread issue on every platform.
Right. Exactly right. All right, our next caller is Rich. Where are you calling from, Rich? Rich isn't calling from anywhere.
Lost him.
So, we lost Rich.
Hold on a minute.
Dave is playing with 70, 80,000 buttons. You should see this thing. It looks like the bridge of the Enterprise. Actually, it looks more like all these stations around the bridge of the Enterprise. The captain only had, like, what, 2 buttons on his chair. Dave's got, like, 70,000. Rich, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Where are you calling from, Rich?
Rochester.
Okie doke. What's your question?
Actually, a comment, maybe a little assistance for the guy who called up installing Chrome.
Excellent.
Ubuntu Geek website that's where I installed it, and has all the information pretty straightforward.
What's it called?
Ubuntu Geeks.
UbuntuGeeks.com or .org?
.com, I believe it is.
Steve's looking it up right now.
Not .com. Let's try .org.
Steve is quickly looking it up.
Typing. UbuntuGeekSingular.com.
UbuntuGeek.com. There you go. And he'll put that on our list of links for the show. And that gave you the directions on how to download it correctly?
Yep.
Excellent.
It was a piece of cake.
Excellent. Glad to hear that. Thank you very much, Rich.
One more thing with the...
Hold on. Before you go on, Tom, if you're listening, it's UbuntuGeek.com. So go ahead. Go ahead, Rich.
For his media player, I've got problems with MPlayer. So I uninstalled it and installed Zine.
Grind?
Zine.
Zine. Yeah, X-I-N-E. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I listen to quite often, you know, different radio stations all around the country, and it doesn't really, MPlayer doesn't cut it for me.
Right.
A lot of sites won't recognize it, but Zine does great, so.
Right. And no, Zine is exceptional. I also like VLC.
Okay.
One thing about VLC is I have yet to find a codec that it doesn't know.
Okay.
It's pretty small. But yeah, Zine is excellent. X-I-N-E is what it's called, and it's phenomenal.
Yes, it is.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate that. Well, that's one of the nice things about Linux, of course. You've got multiple choices for everything you use, and they're all free. One of the things I like about MPlayer is it's real easy to use from the command line. So I can set up... crontab jobs that run whenever I tell them to, Like, for example, right now at home, I'm recording the show on the stream. So all I do is set that up ahead of time, and I say, you know, every Saturday from noon to 2, run MPlayer at this address, and it records the show, and we win. So I really like that about it. I know that, that a lot of others can do that as well, but the one I know best is MPlayer, so I tend to think of that. But Tom is right. For a majority of not a majority, but for some codecs, some ways of sending out video and audio, MPlayer doesn't work really well, and Zine is phenomenal. So is VLC. Thanks. That's good to know.
And same sort of thing on the Mac. VLC for Mac can play all those weird files you download from the internet that, say, QuickTime can't play.
Right. And that probably you shouldn't be downloading anyway.
I just got another, matter of fact, I think it was just a few days. Remember the old program? Well, not old, still around. I just got the update to Total Recorder.
Great program and for Windows people. It's what, $15? Maybe they raised it.
Yeah, it was $15, and I think I got it back in version, I want to say 3 or 4. They're up to 8, and they go, oh, since you've been with us so long, you know, I paid the $15. Here's your free up, you know, here's the version 8 update.
I used to use it all. I'm the one who told you about it. Yeah. I used to use it all the time. Still. Back when I had Windows, and it does essentially the same thing. You can set it up to automatically record at a certain time and save the stream, and it does all kinds of nifty little tricks.
Well, the one thing that I liked about it is back when we were, you know, still recording the show on tapes, I'd sit there and tape it. And then it allowed you to take even, you know, a high-end tape, you know, because of the, and crunch it down.
Yep.
And it would automatically convert it without losing any, you know,
yep,
stuff, you know, take it down.
Yeah, they did an interesting study recently. You know, there are lossless compression algorithms where you don't lose any of the highs or the lows or the mm-hmm. Any of the secondaries. And it's a really, you know, you get true fidelity like you were in the studio with them.
Yeah.
Then there are the lossy compression algorithms like MP3 where it loses a lot of the highs and the lows and it sounds a little tinny to somebody who's got a real good ear. But they did a study and kids who've grown up with iPods prefer the sound of the MP3s. The lossy sound, the not real sound, because it's what they've heard for so very long.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good, but right.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds right. Whereas, of course, I have a friend who is a tremendous jazz musician and teaches over at the Eastman, and he won't live without vinyl. He used to not live without vinyl. He hated MP3s for years. I have another friend who's a musician in California. Same thing. He still buys tubes.
Yep.
You know, he buys tube amplifiers because that's the only way you get the real sound.
And the iPod will play lossless formats. There's the Apple Lossless, which is 50% compression with no loss in data. The big thing about MP3 is it's 90% compression. So you get
a lot more songs in the same space.
Yeah. Apple Lossless is a 50% compression at no loss in data, and the iPod will play uncompressed AIF. You just can't fit as many songs on it. So that's sort of where the portable media players really came into effect, is when the MP3 was able to compress enough so you could put more than one song on your 64 meg flash drive.
Right. And we have people, I have friends who tell me that if you're going to use a compression algorithm that is a little lossy, use OGG.
Yeah.
Only nothing plays OGG. There are no music.
Or FLAC. I know a guy that everything he has is in FLAC.
Right. And you can't play that in anything.
Right. You have to convert it to
right.
MP3. Now, even in MP3, and then Apple also uses the AAC format from Dolby Labs, there are sub-settings inside where you can get higher quality out of it. So it doesn't compress it as much, but it's still pretty small. But for the audio files, and a lot is the different type of music you listen to.
Right.
Jazz and classical, there's a lot of highs and a lot of soft passages,
right.
And that tends to get really muddy in the MP3 compression.
Right.
Where rock and hip hop, you know, it's you don't notice that as much.
Oh, and I've been reminded by the folks in the IRC chat to give a plug to Rockbox. You can replace the operating system on your MP3 player. And when I say MP3 player, I mean Apple, Arcos, Koan, iRiver, Olympus, SanDisk, Toshiba, name it. Those are just the stable ports. That's at rockbox.org. and the and there's a bunch of stable and as well as unstable ports.
Will that let it play FLAC?
And that pretty much lets it play, well, dang near everything, I think.
Because there was a Penguin Linux for the iPod that allowed you to put a Linux OS on your iPod and then run full Linux. It's a little tricky with the wheel as your only interface. But
right, that is absolutely
it can,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's it doesn't, you know, where's the list? Wouldn't it be nice if there was an actual, oh, there we go. No, that's the ports. It doesn't tell me what the...
Probably documentation, FAQs.
Somewhere apparently in the document, you have to actually read the documentation. What is wrong with these people?
What?
What?
What, you got to break the cellophane on that nicely bound book?
Yeah, you don't get books anymore. Miskia, you're old.
Thank you.
Holy cow.
Why? I just got a booklet that I had to read for this new picture frame.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You did.
Once in a while, most computers, like you said, don't.
Right.
A lot of software doesn't. It's right. All there on the CD.
Here's the list. MPEG Audio, OGG Vorbis, MPC, A52, AAC, WMA, ADX, Speaks, Cook, A-Track 3, AC3, AAC, Wave, AIF, FLAC, ALAC, WavePack, Shorten, Monkeys Audio, whatever that is, SID Mod, NSF, SPC, MIDI, GBS, and SAP. So for all of those of you who still have MIDI files lying about, that you have nothing else to play them on, you put Rockbox on your MP3 player, and suddenly all that music is yours again.
Yep. So Gary, if you're listening, if you're not, there's an email on your way. you can play FLAC on your iPod.
Yeah.
He says he has a really old Sansa player that still plays FLAC, and he can't upgrade to anything because nothing else will play FLAC.
Well, he needs to take a look at the site because there's a bunch of ports that are stable and a bunch that are unstable, and a bunch that are unusable. They actually mention the unusable ports, the Sansa M200 series, which is probably the old one he's got. But Rockbox is actually a pretty hot little product. So that's nice. That's actually kind of nice. This is all in entirely the wrong place. All right, we're going to go to... I hate that. All right. We're going to go to our phones again, and we're going to talk to Al. Where are you calling from, Al?
Hi, I'm from Greece, New York.
Okie doke. What's up?
I have a Dell Mini 9 laptop.
Sure.
With XP Home. And what happens is that sometimes when I do my wireless, it drops the wireless, and sometimes in the connect-to area, the wireless... The whole card seems to shut down, and you can't get to it. It doesn't show up there anymore. And I called the Dell company, and I'm just wondering what you people have in the
past. What did Dell say?
Yeah.
Well, they just keep going in there, and we change the channel and where the card goes to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they'd have no idea, because I just sent it back.
Right. What it's likely that it was overheating. Does it happen right away, or does it happen after a while?
Well, it happens after a while. That's what I was thinking, kind of overheating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes after I start it up again, and I get in maybe 10 or 15 minutes, then it works fine for a while.
Well, right, because it's cooled down again.
Okay.
I would suggest that's the problem, and we see that a lot with components, particularly on the little mini machines, particularly the netbooks like mine and like yours. They do tend to run kind of hot, and you have to be kind of careful about where you put them and what you do with them. A friend of my friend of my daughter's is in Germany, and I'm giving her computer help overseas via Facebook right now. She's got a Mac, and it was shutting down randomly by itself. And I said, well, it's one of two problems. Either there is a physical hardware problem with it, but it's more likely that it's overheating. Are you keeping it on a couch or on your bed or on a table? And she said, oh, it's on the bed. I said, well, take it, put it on a table somewhere and make sure you've got so maybe stick a pencil under the back to lift it up a little bit. And it's been fine ever since. So it's often an overheating problem. Now, that's a regular Mac. It's not the little mini things. The mini things have more of a heat problem.
Mm-hmm.
So simply putting them on a table may not be enough for them.
But what that happens, then I have three USBs. They lock up.
Yeah.
The pad locks up. I can't shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I have to push the button and
reset it.
But then it gets all hung up on Windows going, and I have to do a hard reset.
Yep.
Yep.
I would suggest that may be your problem. And what I would suggest to test that, for a while, try putting a fan on it. You know, blow a fan on it while you're working and see if that keeps it cooler. Prop it up, prop up the back a little bit with a pencil or something and make sure that air gets underneath it.
That's what I do. I have it on blacks.
There you go. Make sure they're not blocking any of the ports.
No, that's what we have to.
Yeah, and make sure that you get a fan under there and keep it cool. If that doesn't do it, then it's an actual problem with the Mini 9 itself.
Okay, because I said I'd send it in, but I was just wondering what's your...
Well, I wouldn't let it, you know, if you, like Nick says, if you still have this problem, you know, you don't want to let it go too long that it goes out of warranty.
Right.
That's the biggest thing.
That's where it is right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Just as an example, my laptop now, my wireless card is running at 130 degrees, and I'm not even using it. I'm wired at the moment.
Yeah, we've heard that about you. All right, we're going to take another break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 966-JAZZ. That's 585-966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Back in just a couple of minutes on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit, host of The Smart Set, here with a special warning going out to all you Jazz 90.1 members. Stop smiling like that. Yeah, you love being a member of Jazz 90.1, but you're going to pull a muscle or something. I know the membership card is definitely worth smiling about, what with all those cool discounts at area shops, but frankly, all that smiling is making those non-members jealous. So until everyone's a member of Jazz 90.1, just try to control yourself and keep smiling safely.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Have you been wanting a Jazz 90.1 long or short sleeve t-shirt, half zip fleece, or hooded sweatshirt? The dark navy color with white logo is good looking and tasteful. And you can find them all at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org. Wearing Jazz 90.1 apparel makes it easy to let the world know that jazz is your music and Jazz 90.1 is your station for jazz. There's also a navy Jazz 90.1 baseball cap to complete the look. You know, you might find just exactly what you want when you check out the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
Here we go. Taxes done and on their way.
I hope you checked your math.
Yep.
Remember your W-2s?
I'm not making that mistake again. I even included my Social Security number this time.
Every year, millions of people make common errors on their taxes that cost them time and money. Using eFile prevents many of these problems. Visit IRS.gov for more tips to help you do your taxes right.
Now, you did sign your return, right?
Oh!
Hi, this is Charles Benoit, host of The Smart Set. Friends, we get dozens of requests on The Smart Set, but we come back each week anyway, broadcasting live from Rochester's hottest night spots, the Cowtail Room, the Foaming Bulldog, the Bar None Saloon, the Blue Buddha Lounge, anywhere the best bands in the biz are belting out the tunes Dance Mad Bob's Love. And what bands? The Royal Crown Review, Lee Presson and the Nails, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, Lav A. Smith and a Red Hot Skillet Liquors, and of course, His Highness of Heidi Ho, Rochester Zone, Cab Calloway. Experience it all in the relative safety and comfort of your own home every Saturday night from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
New artist, Miami, talks about radio.
Yeah, I like it because it puts on something. You discover new people that way. It's nice to just hear and the surprise of what's going to come next. You know, sometimes you like to control your own and sometimes it's nice to just listen and like get surprised, you know, by what comes on.
It's the wrong way. It's the right direction.
The best place to discover new artists like Miami is always on the radio. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We have nobody. We do have somebody on the phone. Oh, look at us. We've got somebody on the phone. So I'm not going to read any news. I'm going to go to the phones. Our next caller is Earl. Earl, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chicago.
And how are things in Chicago?
Well, Chicago, actually, I haven't been out yet today. I've been around the house doing some things. I haven't even looked out the window, so I can't really tell you. It was kind of unusually warm the last couple of days. It's normally very cold this time of year in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's been kind of unseasonably warm. Which my daughter's is kind of strange.
My daughter's looking at college in Rockford.
Oh, really?
So I'm beginning to become more and more interested in the Chicago weather.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, we have some blistering cold at times. So,
but not as much snow, right?
Say that again.
Not as much snow.
The last few years, there hasn't been a lot of snow, which is kind of unusual, also. So, whatever's going on with the climate out there, I can't tell you, but it's different than it's been, say, when I was a teenager in high school, when it was we would often get a lot of snow.
Yeah, that's true for all of us.
Okay.
All right, I'd like to apologize to everybody else for taking a little time from my own personal business as Earl is calling from Chicago. What's your question, Earl?
Well, I got to tell you, well, first of all, let me say your show is absolutely fantastic. I've been listening, and I wish I had some resources like the resources that you guys provide to help people with computer problems, because I am the opposite of a computer geek. I'm a computer idiot, I guess, would be the term for me. And the computer that I have is an e-machine and not the best of computers to begin with. Mm. But the problem that I'm having is I keep getting this message that I have zero available memory, and it kind of locks up my computer at times. And there's several things I can't do. It won't record any restore points, so if I have a problem, I can't even restore it anymore.
Does it say zero available memory or zero available disk space?
Disk space.
Oh, there you go. All right, that makes sense.
Disk space. And it tells me that I need to remove some programs and things like that. So I have gone several times to the add or remove program screen, and there are a few things that I can remove, and I have removed them. But there's one file, and this is my first issue that I would like some help with. There is a program, a Corel Word Perfect Suite 8, that was on the thing when someone gave this computer to me, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was on here when someone gave it to me, and when I try to remove it, I get the message that I need to install the CD for the program in order to remove it.
Yeah.
So I can't even remove this thing, and it's taking up quite a bit of space, and that would help, I'm sure. Although I think the problem is bigger than that. So whatever advice you guys can give me, I greatly appreciate it.
One of the things to do is the disk cleanup. If you go into My Computer, right-click on your hard drive, there's a Properties, and then Tools, and then Disk Cleanup. And that will clean through your cache files and your temp files and your download files and try to delete all of that extra stuff you don't need. But it may just be that your hard drive is too full and you need to buy a new hard drive.
How big of a hard drive is in this machine?
Say that again?
How big of a hard drive is in this machine and how much space is left?
If you click on I have done the disk cleanup. In fact, when it gives me that message, it asks me, do you want to clean up the disk? And I can see that it's going through processes, it's compressing files, it's doing this and doing that, but I still never come up with enough space. That will help the situation for a day or two, then I'm right away getting that message again. So it's a bigger problem than that.
What you might need to do is, if you can click on My Computer,
okay,
and that'll open it up and show you the hard drive, and you can, up at the top under what's it, view, say, detail. And it will tell you, if you click on the C drive, over on the left-hand side, it'll show you this pie chart. It'll tell you how big the hard drive is, how much space is available, and how much you've used. Now,
okay, so click on local C drive. It says local disk C. Yep.
And do you see over the left side?
Where now?
You see on the left side, it creates a pie chart?
A pie chart. No, I don't. I have five.
All right, hold on.
Actually.
Hold on, Earl. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is you click on the start button, click on my computer.
Okay, that I did. I have the screen now.
And then right-click on the C drive.
Right-click on the C
right.
drive, okay.
That brings a drop-down list,
mm-hmm.
and the bottom choice should be properties.
Yes.
Click on that.
Okay. Ah, now I see.
There you go.
There's the other part. Yeah, the other.
That'll tell you how much space you've got left.
How big of a hard drive is it?
How big of a hard drive? What would tell me that? Capacity?
Yeah, 20 gig.
40?
40?
37.2.
Right, 40 gig drive. They always show you a little less than you actually have. So,
Earl, what I would suggest is take that to a repair shop and have them ghost it over to a bigger hard drive. Nowadays, standard hard drives are like 320 gig or bigger. So
they could
literally, ghost that over. It should only take, maybe a couple hours. They literally take the image of your 40 gig, ghost it over to a newer, bigger drive, put it in. You won't lose any information. You don't have to reinstall anything. The only thing you gain out, the only problem is now you got tons of space more to fill. And the problem of doing that, which usually never takes too long, with pictures and music and everything else, and it'll alleviate that whole issue for you.
It also depends on how old the e-machine is and whether they can find a drive for that connection.
They might even be able to, I can still get 160s.
Yeah.
160s would even still fit in it.
So that'll give you, four times what you got
now?
Okay.
That would probably solve a lot of your issues because, you're trying to shove 20 pounds in a 5-pound sack and Windows wants to do its, caching space and everything else and you just don't have the room and you're going to just go around and around and around trying to resolve this and the easier way is just spend a few bucks and have it. A new drive put in.
Okay. All right. That's great. Great. So now I know what to say to them when I get there. Ghost it over
to
a drive with a larger capacity.
Yep. What happens is they buy from them a bigger hard drive.
Okay.
And then they'll ghost over the old drive to the new drive, and all that'll happen is you'll end up with more space.
Okay.
Now, before we're done here, Earl, your other task is to spread the word of Soundbites.
Oh, and I will do that.
To the Chicago area?
Can I go to that original question about the one file I can't remove?
Well, once you get the new...
Because it requires the disk to remove it.
Right.
Is there any way to get rid of this thing?
Once you get the new drive installed, right, you'll have enough room to download a program called Revo Uninstaller.
Okay.
And Revo Uninstaller... Well, first, you won't have to worry about it anymore because you'll have plenty of space.
Yeah.
But if you do want to get rid of it, then Revo Uninstaller, R-E-V-O Uninstaller dot, I think, com, I'm pretty sure, we'll let you do that.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. You've been very helpful. I will spread the word on the show.
Thank you very much.
Earl.
Have fun in Chicago.
Point man in Chicago. Thank you, Earl.
Thank you.
This is wild.
It's great.
I mean, compared to the other places we've been for over 20 years and the variety of folks that we're getting calling into the show now, it's just mind staggering.
Yes, it
is. I mean, we've had, New Hampshire, Chicago now, Omaha, I think down Nebraska and St. Louis. I mean, they're just coming from all over. It's really wild.
They're coming from all over, and we're delighted to know.
Yes, just keep passing the word, folks, please. We're having so much fun, and, hopefully you folks are, too, enjoying, the answers and everything else. A lot of folks say, I don't understand a lot of it, but you guys sound like you're having a lot of fun. Yes, we've been doing it for 20 years, and the three of us are still together like a bad marriage. And
we just tolerate each other.
I know it. We're getting together for the kids.
But we have fun with it. You know, that's what counts. That's the whole thing of it.
That's what counts. All right, one more news item.
Yeah. Somebody? Okay. Yeah, you got time.
I got time. On Wednesday, a Florida woman filed a class action lawsuit against Google Inc., charging that the new Buzz social networking tool violates the privacy rights of users. And this has been everywhere. It's been horrible. Eva Hibnick, a resident of Sarasota County, Florida, filed a suit in San Jose, California federal court on behalf of herself and the approximately 31 million U.S. users of Google's popular Gmail email service. 31 million users, each of whom gets 7 gigabytes of disk space. You do the math. The lawsuit alleges that Google violated federal privacy and computer fraud laws by adding Buzz to the Gmail service last week, actually a couple weeks ago. According to the class action complaint, Google Buzz made private data belonging to Gmail users publicly available without the user's knowledge or authorization. Google has publicly admitted that its Buzz program presents privacy concerns, and Google has made several waves of modifications to the program. However, Google's modifications do not go far enough to address the problem. Furthermore, Google's actions have already caused damage because the Buzz program disclosed private user information the moment Google launched the service. The bell of breached privacy cannot be unrung. Hibnick is seeking unspecified damages and is asking the court to prevent Google from offering Buzz without appropriate safeguards, default provisions, and opt-in mechanisms. Google last week threw its hat into the social networking ring by adding new Gmail features designed to make the email service a social networking hub. Google Buzz is the company's attempt to make the flood of social posts, pictures, and video easier to weed through and to make it easier to find important information. Users started expressing concerns about the complexity of the privacy setting in Buzz almost immediately after its February 9th launch. In response, Google said it tweaked the technology to address early privacy concerns just 2 days after the launch of Buzz. The company noted in a blog post that the modification should make it easier for users to block access to their pages and also make it easier to find the two different privacy features. In her lawsuit, Hibnick called Google's tweaks to Buzz too little and too late. So our question to you, and I know you've heard a lot about social networking in the last couple of weeks, do you use Buzz? What do you think? Have you had a privacy nightmare question that you need to talk about? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. I'm still on Buzz, and I haven't found it that compelling yet.
Another Google product that I've been just starting to get into is Google Wave.
I've got Wave. And not that Wave. Oh, my heavens to Murgatroyd.
Only Steve, you know.
Cheese and crackers, Steve.
Our old Steve. But, yeah, no, I just started getting into the Google Wave with a few of the other things that I'm into. And it's kind of neat because, for folks that don't know, is another way of setting up sort of like a conference. And folks can, at their leisure, go in, comment on things, and collaborate. And
Wave is actually better than Buzz because it separates conversations into groups, mm-hmm. and it's actually a better interface.
And you can also backtrack and see how things were added.
Exactly. I really like Wave better, yep. actually. But they're all about Buzz right now, and I don't find it compelling yet.
Speaking of waving and buzzing, I've been playing with Ustream, and we have a Ustream channel running. Unfortunately, I can't figure out how to get it to look at the second video camera, so the only thing on the camera is me, which is a little
okay,
scary.
Nobody's going to be in there then.
I've posted the link in our forums if you really want to see it right now, and we'll see how well it works. But I'm trying to get it to see that second camera, and I'm probably confusing Flash by having two cameras connected to my computer.
Yeah, probably you are, yes. And you're recording from one of them and streaming the other one and doing this and doing that. And yeah. I
get it. Mm-hmm. But
we've talked about doing Ustream. Somebody suggested we do Ustream. The real question is we only have the one camera and he can't seem to find that one. More likely, however, is the fact, well, you may have to stop using it.
I shut down the EvoCam so to see if Flash could see it on the web. Now, I can do web streaming right out of my EvoCam that I've been doing the recording with, but then you have to connect to the IP address of this computer, which probably changes every week.
Although, yeah, probably.
It may not. I should write that down.
But really, the real question is what we would love to be able to do is show the three of us on camera and have the audio stream, and that's the harder part, getting the audio stream to connect
well,
in with the
YouTube
stream.
all they're seeing from me is the backside of me.
Well, it depends on where we put the camera. I mean, if we mounted it in the right place and it was a wide enough view, maybe put it over there somewhere, then I wouldn't be seen. But you know, there's places we could put it. There's places we could put it. But the reality is that it's particularly if I moved over like here, right? Get up nice and cozy with Steve. That's disgusting.
Well, see, it gets us.
But, you know, if we
it gets
hung
us
it,
pretty. Yeah, we'd have to put it sort of behind because this rack is in the way there.
No, but if I see if you moved over just a little, and I moved over a little. Hi, everybody. Hi.
It's like SOB.
Yeah, that's right. SOB.
Slide over, baby.
Slide over, baby.
That's not the way I went.
I know that. I know the way you went. But shut up. I'd like to apologize in advance for everything Steve Ray is both saying and thinking. But if we mounted it like just. If we, you know, the rack where all the CDs are right there,
mm-hmm.
If we stood it up on that, on a smaller.
Well, because that tripod descends.
Right.
That might work.
Then we'd see all of us, and that might do it for us. So, all right, we're going to take a break. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. We'll get to you on the other side of this break. If you're not on the line, I don't know why you're not on the line. Our number is 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free if you're in the Chicago area or anywhere else outside the 585 area code. It's 1-800-790-0415. We're going to take a break. But on the other side of that, more of your calls, a lot more of us. We may even get to Uncle Dave this week. Who knows? So a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here. On member-supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side of these important commercial messages.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Remember those old savings bonds you got for your birthday or graduation? Yeah, the ones you stuck away in a drawer and forgot all about? Well, after 30 years, those savings bonds have stopped earning interest, and you're losing money to inflation. In fact, Americans have billions of dollars of Series E savings bonds just sitting around. Find out if you have any savings bonds over 30 years old. Go to treasuryhunt.gov. Join the hunt at treasuryhunt.gov. A public service message from the Department of the Treasury.
Jazz 90.1 accepts vehicles. That's right. You can donate your unwanted vehicle to Jazz 90.1, have it picked up, and receive a tax deduction while we get cash to keep the jazz going strong on Jazz 90.1. If you would like to support Jazz 90.1 by donating your old vehicle, call 966-5299. That's 966-5299. Donating your old vehicle, another way to support Jazz 90.1.
Here's a tip to the wise for all you tech-savvy scenesters. One click will take you directly from the Jazz 90.1 website straight to the station's very popular Facebook and MySpace pages. Once there, you'll be privy to special announcements, exclusive contests, Jazz Insider info, everything to keep you hip to all the hip happenings at Jazz 90.1. So click on over to jazz901.org and help take jazz even further.
This is another National Wildlife Refuge Minute. In Wallkill River National Wildlife Refuge in northern New Jersey, that hammering sound could only be one thing, the pileated woodpecker in search of a meal. One of the most recognizable birds in all of nature, the pileated woodpecker's large size and red crest served as inspiration for one of America's most beloved cartoon characters, Woody Woodpecker. The holes pileated woodpeckers create are often big enough to become nesting areas for smaller birds. A forest full of pileated woodpeckers looking for lunch would sound like a drum line at a parade, and maintaining healthy forests in the wildlife refuge helps the beat go on. Every wildlife refuge is full of unique and unforgettable experiences. With over 500 refuges, you don't have to go far to make a special connection with nature. Learn more at fws.gov/refuges. That's fws.gov/refuges.
In celebration of Black History Month 2010, Jazz 90.1 proudly salutes African-American jazz musicians. Throughout the month of February, we will present biographical vignettes of great jazz and blues artists like Alan Toussaint, John Coltrane, Wynton Marsalis, Nancy Wilson, and Roy Hargrove. Be listening each weekday at 7:40 a.m., 12:40, 4:40, and 8:40 p.m. when Jazz 90.1 will honor a different African-American jazz musician. For a complete listing of artists featured, visit jazz901.org. African-American jazz vignettes are presented as a public service by Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. During the break, those of you who are watching us, it looked like the Enterprise being attacked. The camera was shaking back and forth and everything else, but we have moved the camera to a place where now all three of us, if Dave will actually look a little to his right, all three of us can now be on camera, so we can all be seen. That's step one to putting us, I guess, on Ustream at some point. I'm not quite sure how we're going to manage that, but
well, right now we're live streaming from my computer.
To so
you
Ustream?
Can log to the internet, so you can log in on a IP address. But I don't know if that's a public. That's a private address, so I'm guessing it's not going to work from the public internet.
Right. But we're trying to figure out how to do Ustream from here. Doing the video is easy, maybe.
Well, it's getting the second camera. See, I've got a camera. You've got a camera. Dave could point that camera at him. We could do a three shot.
How are you going to mount? What? No.
Well, then I got to bring in a video box.
Right.
What's in that bottle that he's drinking?
No, I'm kidding. Then we'd have to do Dim Dim, actually. Oh. Dim Dim would do it.
Dim Dim.
Video toaster.
Yeah. The reality is that we would need a whole lot more extra stuff.
Yeah, we just don't have it.
This is new? Oh, this is who we're waiting for.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Dory. Where are you calling from, Dory?
Calling from Nebraska.
Yes, it's our Dory.
Where in Nebraska, Dory?
Omaha.
Omaha, Nebraska.
Hey,
how are
sweetie.
Things in Omaha, Nebraska?
Well, they're a little warmer than they had been for a while, so we're getting some good snow melt. That snow's on the way, from what I hear. So it'll be wintry soon.
Oh, boy. And what can we do to make you a happier woman?
Yes, of course. That's the way it should be, right?
Exactly.
For Dory, yes.
What can we do for you?
Well, just calling because you were talking about Buzz and you had asked for comments about it. It's something that, when it hit the Twitterverse, it got a little crazy. Some people starting to worry about privacy, and I looked at it, and to me it was just, oh my gosh, I already have Twitter, and I have this, and I have that, and how many more things can I add? And then the privacy concerns popped up, and I was rushing to drop it off as much as I could, because it just, and it seemed overkill. Like, how many more things do I need Google to do for me?
Right.
They don't clean Windows, as far as I know. So.
Yeah, right. Well,
next year's app.
Somebody made an interesting point, which is that I don't think Google is really that interested in who we connect with socially as who we don't connect with socially. And here's why. You're connected to a million people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how many of them do you really pay attention to? You know, some people are like a courtesy follow, right?
Right.
And some people you actually pay attention to, so that's why Google lets you, or Twitter makes you make lists. So you can actually really only follow the people you're interested in. Well,
right.
Buzz doesn't do that. Buzz, you either follow everybody or you unfollow people. And what they're interested in is who you unfollow, because what that means is the people who are left are quality people.
You hope.
They're friends or they're quality people. So
yeah.
By
unless Steve's
unless it's Steve, and then you know you're kind of stuck following him. But the point is, if 500,000 people follow Tim O'Reilly, 6 people follow me. Tim O'Reilly is probably a quality poster and somebody that they want to make sure they have in their search results.
Yes.
Well, for Google, it's all about search.
I understand but it's just crazy. It's like, I don't know if I want to contribute to all those metrics.
Who becomes interesting in the long run is interesting, too.
Right.
Well, I know Dory's very active right now, and she's always commenting there on Facebook and everything else. So, yeah, like you say, how much you really want to lend yourself out there, Dory?
There's a limit, and even doing something like Avatars United, which is now owned by Linden Labs,
right?
It's just, okay, that's, I hit my breaking point. I can't end anymore.
Right. No, I completely understand. Yeah. It's true of everybody. There's a difference between social and promiscuous.
Mm-hmm.
Stop.
There's a, what's the name of it? There's a French website that's getting news this week for doing random video chats. You go online and they randomly connect you to someone else.
I saw that.
Cool.
And
I'm like, okay, not
some strange things are showing up on these random video chats.
We don't usually either, though, Dory, but it's Steve. So we don't buy
it, Steve.
I read about it on Dvorak.
Yeah. Right.
And then immediately went there and started learning French, so to speak.
And if he wants us to believe that, I got some swampland for
Bonjour.
Him.
Bonjour. Voulez-vous?
Avec moi.
Yeah.
C'est moi.
No, the only French I actually know is Je veux parler avec la plume de ma tante, which apparently means may I please speak to the pen of my aunt. That's really it. That's all the French I know. I'm an American. We don't learn foreign languages. We just shout louder till you get it.
Yeah, really.
It's
louder and faster. Yeah, that helps me get it. Thanks.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Dory. We appreciate that.
Take it easy.
She's absolutely right. It's overkill. Now, what I've learned to do is one of the things that I have is I've collected hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of quotes that I really like. And what I've now written a program that at 8 a.m. and at 8 p.m., it finds one that's less than 140 characters long, right, randomly, and then shoots it out to Twitter. Twitter sends it on to Facebook, and eventually Buzz grabs it off of Twitter.
Okay.
So really, by putting it in one place, I send it to three places.
Get all around, yeah.
Yeah.
I did your math a little earlier. 200 petabytes.
That's how much space they need?
That's how much space they need for the mail for Google's 31 million users. I ran into a blog article.
Petabyte, by the way, is a million gigabytes.
Yeah, 200 million gigabytes. Google processes 20 petabytes a day of data.
That's just mind-boggling.
Now, the largest hard drive you can buy currently is 2 terabytes.
Right.
Which is 1,000 gigabytes.
Right.
So to get 200 million gigabytes,
you need a whole lot more of them.
Is 20,000 terabytes.
Yeah.
So they need 20,000 hard drives.
And that doesn't count backup. Or
20,
private data.
20,000 more, right.
And that that doesn't count any of the other data.
And that's why Google published a white paper a couple years ago about the reliability of hard drives. They probably go through 20,000 hard drives a month.
A day,
yeah. And they found that about 20% of them fail immediately, and 20% of them fail in the year. So they ended up with about a 20% per year failure rate. So in the second year of owning your hard drive, there's a 40% chance it'll fail. In the third year, there's a 60% chance that it will fail.
Right, and if it lasts 5 years, you win.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, our next caller is Howard. Where are you calling from, Howard?
We're calling from Irondequoit.
And how are things there?
Hey, pretty good. Yeah, the sun's coming out.
Wow.
Got a question on Skype. I was going to download it. I looked at his privacy statement, and it indicated that they were going to check my bank account, my charger accounts, my card numbers. Why do they need to get into my bank account?
Skype?
Yes.
Because if you join them, you can make three, actually, nobody expects Spanish position, types of calls. The first call is Skype to Skype, and that's completely free. But if you want to call a landline or a cell phone, then they are going to charge you for that. They need to have your credit card number so they can charge you for that, or you become a premium member. And then you get, however many minutes it is a month.
You buy minutes ahead of time.
Oh, right. Okay.
So
and
that's
they,
the reason.
They indicated that also that they would be sharing that with a third party out of the country.
Yeah, a lot of them. You know what, Howard? A lot of them do that. They all do that.
Skype is one giant network all over the world, basically. So your traffic could go anywhere they want. Their advertisers
right.
could be in other countries as well. Their banks could be in other countries as well.
And if you call somebody overseas, they have to share that information with
yep. mm-hmm.
the other person's bank in that country.
Oh, okay. Yep. But I guess it's so popular, evidently it must be pretty safe, though.
It's as safe as anything else is, Howard. The minute your credit card number gets out there on the net, you know, no promises. So that's
right.
why a lot of people have a separate credit card that's just for the internet, and they make sure there's just a little more than enough money a month for all the payments that they, you know, automatically
yeah.
make on
a
the web.
A couple $100 limit.
Right, with a very right. low limit, so that if it does get stolen, you don't lose much.
Good idea.
Yep.
And with Skype, you can buy minutes ahead of time, and they go into your Skype account. So calls you make are debited from your Skype account rather than being debited from your credit card.
Right.
Right. Okay. Well, you sure cleared up a lot for me. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
All right.
We one of the interesting things is that Skype is creating an app for both the Android and the iPhone. And I think
they already have
BlackBerry.
It out for the iPhone. Yeah,
yeah,
that's coming for BlackBerry and Android. They
yeah.
have it for the iPhone.
That lets you make Skype calls over that. So you'll be able to say, you know, the heck with the AT&T charges. I mean, you still have to pay the data charge. But if you want to make long-distance calls via Skype to another Skype person, you can do that essentially for free.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So cell phones, what's become common over the last couple of years is that on your cell phone carrier, you can make free calls to other people using the same carrier. And carriers have done that to lock you in. You know, if all your friends are on Verizon, you're not going to change to AT&T because now you can't call them for free. So Skype is trying to build this into all the phones now so that you can use Skype to call other people. Then it doesn't matter what carrier they're on, and it will be free through Skype.
Right. Well, before we go back to the phones, speaking of Dory, Tay is hitting me over here on Twitter. And he says two things. First, he said, remind people to clean computers. I was helping a friend, and I could
yeah.
build a dust bunny man in lieu of a snowman.
I've got one full of cigarette dust, which is horrible.
Oh, wait until the ones you get with the tar.
Yeah.
And the dust sticks
dripping
to the
right off the hard
fins.
Drive, yeah.
Oh, well, no, the CPU fan.
Or the CPU fan,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah.
all the fins, those little thin fins, are totally clogged. Dan and I have gotten to where now we have these paper masks
yep.
that we take outside, wear one of those while we're blowing out the machines because the dust and everything else is so bad,
yeah,
especially
horrible.
The smoker one.
I know it. You look at those and you think, that's happening in my lungs.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, you know, you can't stop yep. a smoker from smoking. All right, and he also said that he thinks I violated Steve's personal space when I moved over here, but Steve doesn't actually have a personal space, so I'm not at all sure that's a problem.
We're family.
As we speak. We're family. All right, who's our next caller?
If anyone knows how to get Ustream to see a second camera.
Well, it's not Ustream, it's Flash.
It's Flash, yeah. When I pulled on my video source, I get all these video sources, but only one USB camera. I have two USB cameras connected to my computer.
Can you turn that one off?
Not easily. I could take the computer apart and unplug it.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Mark. Where are you calling from, Mark?
Rochester.
And how are things down there?
Same as usual, nice and snowy.
Rochester, New York, hub yep. of civilization in the Western world. What can we do for you?
I've got a crashing problem with a home theater PC I have. It's an Acer Intel quad core with a ATI Radeon 3650 video card, 3 gigabytes of RAM. I keep getting the blue screen, and it either says memory management problem or IRQL not less or equal. I've gone on the internet, and it seems to point to memory, but when I run a memory test in Windows with this utility that came with Windows, it goes a couple hours, it doesn't find any problems.
What you want to do is run a program called memtest86 at
okay.
memtest86.org.
That worked.
There he goes. Now he's got it. I don't know what he did, but whatever he did, it worked. What you want to do is run that test. It'll actually run overnight.
And it's much more intensive?
Way more intensive.
Okay. And now the other question, this utility, when it's testing, it gives you a real-time readout, and it would say, like, one error per 1,000 when reading the memory.
Mm-hmm.
Is that average, or is that already
showing
a problem?
No, that's high. That's a problem.
Okay.
Any error is a problem.
Great. So actually, this is easily pointing to the memory, then, from what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Great.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Thank you. Excellent. Well, there you go. That was easy enough, then. That's you know, when it errors are bad, memory errors are bad. I know that they happen. And sometimes, depending on where the memory error is, they don't really cause a major problem, but sometimes they really, really do. So if you get an error message, mm-hmm. then you absolutely have to make sure that you fix that memory. All right. Our next caller is Victor. Where are you calling from, Victor?
Rondequoit.
Rondequoit, not from Victor?
No, Victor from Rondequoit.
Okay, there you go. Our next caller is Rondequoit from Victor.
All
right, what's your question?
I had in the menu bar a RoboForm icon. Now, I just upgraded to the newer version, and I lost it. The only thing I have now is, RoboForm, a toolbar. I don't want the toolbar. Is there a way I can get the icon back?
Oh, man, not that I know of.
He's checking it out now as we speak, seeing what he can find on it. And
yeah.
One of those things that...
It doesn't... I don't see any way to do that. It may be there, but I don't see any way to do that. There we go. So there's a downloading, upgrading, installing, autofill... Auto save, filling forms. Jeez and crackers. Yeah, they've turned it into a toolbar. Sorry. Yeah, it doesn't. You can customize it and remove the ones you don't want. Yeah, it doesn't. You can customize it and remove the ones you don't want.
Oops, sorry. I was
That was Steve.
I was feeding back. The Ustream was feeding back into the computer.
Yeah, it doesn't...
No, wait. It's this. That Mac. Mute that Mac.
You can customize it and remove the ones you
window.
Don't want. Close
window.
Whatever you're doing, close that window.
We brought the stream up on another Mac, so it's feeding into the radio.
Define we just now. Define we, Steve.
The royal we.
The royal pain in the we is what you are.
Not in my pocket.
That's exactly right.
So the Ustream is working.
Yeah. That's great. Are you still there, Victor?
I'm still here.
All right.
Sorry for the confusion.
I have no idea what we were just saying, but whatever it is, there you have it. It seems to me that it has turned into a toolbar, and I don't quite know how to get rid of it. I just don't.
Maybe I'll email them and see if they have any ideas.
Yeah, and I'll continue to take a look through the. I'll continue to look. We're going to take another break. Back in just
Thank
a couple
you.
Of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 21 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. We are right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
How's that cook?
How do you change the ringtone?
How much does this cost?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life, except...
Any questions?
No.
At the doctor's office, ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects? Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
I love jazz, so I spend an outrageous amount of time listening to Jazz 90.1. It's my way to stay in the loop with the local jazz scene and the local musicians. And I love the specialty programs. They're programs that I cannot find anywhere else. With Jazz 90.1's Facebook and MySpace pages, I can listen in and stay tuned in with the local jazz scene from my computer and my phone, too.
I jump in on the exclusive contests and chat up with people who believe in the music. You can too. Visit jazz901.org and click on the icons to visit Jazz 90.1's Facebook and MySpace pages. That's how I take jazz further, with Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Exodus to Jazz Productions, presenting an afternoon with the Jeremy Pelt Quintet, Sunday, February 21st, 4 p.m. at the Radisson Hotel. Doors open at 3 p.m. Tickets are on sale at all Wegmans locations and at ticketweb.com. For more information, call 733-7685 or visit exodustojazz.com. What does it take to create a great jazz radio station? The best jazz music? Sure. Knowledgeable DJs who love the music as much as you do? Naturally. A fine facility with the best equipment? Of course. But what is most important in creating a great jazz radio station is the decision to make it happen. And that is what you do when you decide to become a member of Jazz 90.1. Listeners enjoy a great jazz station, but members make them happen. Keep Jazz 90.1 happening. Call 966-JAZZ, 966-5299 today and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
New artist Brooke White talking about radio.
We spent a lot of time particularly listening to the oldies radio station. I grew up really listening to the 60s and 70s and kind of growing this fondness for old music. There's something comforting about listening to the radio and having a DJ.
Radio, radio, tell me what I wanna know,
The place to connect with new audiences every day. Radio. Visit RadioHeardHere.com.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekdays from noon to 3 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we are now on Ustream. Steve has magically managed to set up a Ustream video. If you go to ustream.tv and search for Soundbites Radio, that's three separate words. That you'll find us. We're there. It's kind of cool, actually.
Because someone else already took Soundbite, so
I don't know. I'm
wondering if that might have been us ages ago. I requested a forgot your password, but it hasn't shown up in my email yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you just search for Soundbites, two words, you'll find Soundbites Radio, which is us, and Hi Racer Bob, who's currently watching us. And we'll see how.
I just connected myself.
See how that goes.
See what would happen, and it works.
And so my
picture is streaming fine. There's actually video.
So now I've got two of five, three of six.
Three of six. People are finding us. I'm going to get off because I don't need to be on. But there's a chat section. Maybe I should stay on for the chat.
Another chat to watch.
Yeah, we can't watch all this stuff at once. I don't care what anybody says.
I think we got a radio show to do.
Sample header, sample body. You're going to have to fill all that out, too. Bogus chat text, just to test out what will look. Dang it, it's gone now. All right, we're going to be playing with Ustream now for the whole time, so we'll see what that all looks like.
As long as I don't close that window.
Yeah, don't close that window, whatever you do. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now. We're just multimedia whores, aren't we? We're on just about every medium you can conceivably find. Our next caller is Hank. Where are you calling from, Hank?
I'm calling from Penfield. How are you guys?
Great. How are you?
Good, good. Always liked your show.
Thank you. What can we do to help you?
Oh, I think you were just talking about memory problems before when I was driving my car and I got home. I said, I got a call. I'm on the XP Home with Service Pack 3, and I use a ISP service local. And
yep.
I get every time I go into their modem through their login admin process, I get a Stack Overflow error. It only happens when I go into their modem.
And what? And then do you get past it, or what happens?
No, I can't do anything else in it.
Have you talked to them?
Yeah, they've talked to them a couple of times. They now have a new service call, but they've not responded back yet. So
you haven't been able to get online for a while.
Oh, I can get online. I just can't get into their modem and add. I want to add my laptop to the IP filter, and I can't get in there to do it because it says I've got a Stack Overflow at line 80.
All right, so it clearly that's their code.
Right.
All right, so you can get in with the software, but now you're running some other program to try to add yourself, to add a new computer to the list.
No, I want to use their instructions in their modem. Once you log into their modem as an admin with a password, and it takes you to a step where you can add a filter.
Yeah.
I can't get into it. It keeps giving me this Stack Overflow error. I'm wondering if that's a
what
memory
browser,
problem in their modem or is that a memory problem?
Wait a minute. What browser are you trying to use to get into it?
I use IE8.
That should get it.
Try compatibility mode in IE8, or if it can't go back to IE7, can you? But IE8 has compatibility issues with some web interfaces. You could try Firefox or Chrome.
Yeah, try Firefox or Chrome. What OS are you running?
It's XP Home.
Okay. Yeah, you might want to try downloading Firefox and go in through there, see if that gives you the same issue. Because I know you can open it, whether it's Roadrunner or DSL. We've done both machine, you know, both modems with Foxfire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. I'll try that.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
And sometimes you can't get into your ISP's router to change the settings because they don't want you to mess things up that they've set at their end.
Right. All right.
So it's that's always an interesting point. And what's sometimes a little annoying is that a lot of the ISPs now are renting you wireless routers. They used to just rent you a wired router, but so many people like wireless, they're renting you the wireless router. And oftentimes you either can't enable encryption or they're using the WEP broken encryption.
Mm-hmm.
And the password is the MAC address of the router. Which is
that's good.
Very easy to break.
Yeah, you might think so.
So you're better off getting a wired router from them and then buying your own wireless router that you can control.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, they forget to tell folks how to lock it down.
Right.
They don't bother to. And...
Right. Randall Monroe, the guy who does the XKCD online comic, says we should have a Memorial Day once a year, a holiday once a year for all the kind souls who have open wireless routers named Linksys.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Ted. Where are you calling from, Ted?
Fairport.
And what can we do for you?
I had a question. I'm in the process of building a PC, and I wanted to buy a legit copy of the OS, Windows 7. If I buy a OEM copy, the one website where I was going to buy it from in the comments section, they said that you're only allowed to install it once. So, like, 6 months from now, if I want to reinstall the OS, it won't let me do that. I'll have to rebuy it. Is that true?
Once on one computer.
Yeah,
you can reinstall it on
that same computer.
Again.
Okay. Well, I like to reinstall the OS, like, once a year just to clean everything up.
Just because you have to.
Yeah.
The problem is buying OEM software, if you're not a Microsoft-certified OEM, is in that gray area of illegality. It's not quite legal.
Illegality.
You can't say it either now.
Semi-illegality,
Right. The vendors that are selling those are probably Microsoft OEMs, and they're supposed to, because both Dave and I are Microsoft OEMs,
mm-hmm.
we are supposed to buy the OEM software and install it on a computer we sell.
Right.
It's only licensed to be sold.
Or it's
got to
be
computer.
Sold with a hard drive, at least with one of my own.
Right.
But one thing that'll save you the frustration...
Okay.
Is if you say you go ahead and install it and you get it fresh, the first software package you want to put on it after you get Windows 7 on it is Revo Uninstaller. And if you use Revo Uninstaller to remove any programs thereafter, you will find the machine will do a great job of removing everything. It removes the programs on the hard drive. It goes into the registry. And this is where Microsoft fails terribly. Surprise, surprise. Because what they do is all they do is turn one bit off, and all the registry entries still remain there. So if you uninstall and install, say, a particular program, say, five times, there are going to be five incidences of that software in the registry.
Okay.
Even though four of them are turned off. So Revo, though, will go through and totally remove everything. It is a great program, and it's free.
And a lot of times I've seen the resellers will sell an OEM disc with, say, a mouse, which you can buy for $1. Just because it's licensed for sale with new hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, it's a mouse.
That's new hardware.
The intent is that it's installed on a computer that's being sold by that reseller.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I buy all the parts to make the computer from the same place and buy the OEM version, then that's fine, right?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. They'll sell you the package deal.
Okay. And then in 6 months from now, if I want to just reinstall the software, I shouldn't have a problem. They
Correct.
Said that
the key
on
thing,
the comment section, it said you're going to have to pay $60 to get tech support to talk to you to redo it.
Here's the key thing. What you want to make sure you do is that it comes with a key code. Because that is the thing. You know, if they sell it to you and or preload it and you don't get a disc or a key code, I would be very leery. But there better be a key code on the side of that box to, reinstall it. Because then once you could do also is once you get this new machine, if they don't include the disc, is get a copy of Ghost and burn an image of that, current setup.
Right, and then just put that on there.
Yeah. But they should include the CD with the OEM. If you're
I'm sure they will. Ask
them. No, don't assume. Ask.
Yeah.
Always ask and make sure. Now, does that include the software and the license? Okay. Some might say, well, no, it's just a license, and you might have to make your own CDs.
Because one way Microsoft sells the OEM stuff is that they sell you a piece of paper with the license code on it.
Yep.
And we as system builders have to buy a single disk that then we install
we use
on a computer and
with
give
your license code.
With your with the customer's license code. And that's one of the reasons why most PCs don't come with disks anymore is that the PC vendors don't want to take the time and cost to make those disks.
Because
they have one copy they install on every machine.
Well, otherwise we'd have to charge them.
Right.
And we can't legally do that. We're only licensed to, install it. We're not licensed.
So in the instructions that come with new PCs and quite often a program that runs the very first time you turn your PC on, it says back up your stuff now. So in case there's a problem.
Especially the laptops tell you they have the routines. A lot of folks don't take the time to make those backup DVDs. And now it's DVDs because that's what Windows 7 comes on, is a DVD. And then they usually have a separate DVD for all the drivers.
Yep.
So you got two DVDs that you're going to be burning. I tell everybody, take the time and do it.
I had a PC in the shop this week with Windows Media, Windows Home Media Center.
That is
It comes on two CDs, and you have to swap it three or four times between your installs.
Well, I've had, we've had, like I told you, you emailed me back. Yeah, I've not been able to, get a copy of that to do reinstalls because most of the folks have the sticker, but they don't have the CDs.
No disc.
Where are they? I don't know. Don't you have them? No.
And you can call Dell or
Home
HP
and Professional,
and whatever and buy replacement discs.
Yeah, I got the, to reinstall XP Home or Vista or, Windows 7 now, the OEMs that I can reinstall as long as you have that license code on the side of your machine, I can do a repair.
Yep.
But some folks don't even have that, and then you wonder.
Or laptops. Laptops are bad because the stickers is on the bottom of your laptop most frequently. It fades and wears off because when you're sliding your laptop around, it rubs it off.
What I usually do on all laptops that I sell is I take some clear tape and I put it over the top of that sticker.
Apple puts their stickers inside the battery bay so that it doesn't.
That's not a bad idea.
But it's
either.
So tiny, you can't read it. And our barcode scanners can't resolve the barcode small enough. It's annoying.
Or as you're trying to read and type and differentiate between an 8 and a B.
8 and Bs are bad. Zeros and Os are bad.
With
Apple, they don't use O. They don't use the letter O. It's always a 0. And they don't use the letter I. It's always a 1.
But they shouldn't use
and
Bs.
Bs.
They shouldn't
H's
use
and Bs.
Bs
are tough. So did we answer your question?
I think you did. That's why
we totally confused them.
Linux, but I don't have these headaches.
So. Well, the annoying part with buying pieces and parts and building a PC is every piece has its own driver disk. So now you've got your system disk, your Ethernet disk, your audio disk, your video disk, and it makes reinstalling more of a pain, which makes ghosting it once everything's installed a nicer option.
Right.
Yeah. I've been building them for years, and like I said, I usually put Linux in, so I'm used to dealing with drivers and all that stuff, and I don't mind doing that. It's kind of fun. I'm just more worried about I want to do the right thing and buy a legitimate copy of the OS and not
good
get
for
a bootleg one.
Yep.
And I just want it to work the way it's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm worried about.
Well, that'll do it. There you go.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
On the stream, now we've got like, what, 12, 17, 18 people on the 17 people on the stream. We do have a question. Somebody wants to know if there's a Revo for Mac.
There's a couple of different programs that will clean out stuff on your computer. In general, uninstalling on a Mac is just dragging the application to the trash. It may leave behind support files and little bits in your computer, but most of the time it doesn't matter because your hard drives are so big. There is a program, I can't remember the name of it, I think it was Applejack, where you drop an application on it and it will tell you where all of the support files were loaded. In most cases, it's in your user directory under application support. So on the Mac, it's fairly easy to uninstall a program.
All right.
It is not Applejack. That runs the Unix routines.
Cool. Don't they already exist? What?
Yeah, the Unix maintenance routines run randomly in the middle of the night between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m.
Right.
If your machine is on and awake.
Right. And if not, they should run when the system boots.
The next time wakes up, yeah. But some geeky people like to run it manually.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. Sure. And Applejack will do that for you.
Yep.
Or you could just go in and run them by hand.
Yeah.
Okay. See, it's heaven forbid you actually have to, like,
type something. Type commands, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break while I play around a little more on Ustream. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. You can join us online at soundbites.org, jazz901.org, the IRC chat, the Ustream. Jeez and crackers were everywhere. Back in just a couple of minutes, 39 minutes after the hour, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
The snow may be snowing, the wind may be blowing, but you can weather the storm a little better with some assistance from yours truly. Hi, I'm Jazz 90.1 meteorologist Josh Nichols. As winter kicks into high gear, you can count on Jazz 90.1 morning, noon, or night for my latest forecast. I track the weather every step of the way to bring you a forecast that's reliable and the only one of its kind in the area that's certified by the American Meteorological Society with its highest seal of approval. So while you're in the office, in the car, or at home, remember that you can stay ahead of and weather the storm with the information you need by tuning in each weekday this winter to Jazz 90.1, taking jazz further.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton. Do you have a comment or suggestion for Jazz 90.1? Call our feedback phone today at 966-2407. That's 966-2407. Be heard at Jazz 90.1.
When you like the music you hear on Jazz 90.1, you want it to continue to be there for you the next time you tune in. And that's exactly what happens when listeners become members of Jazz 90.1. Membership ensures that Jazz 90.1 can continue to bring you the jazz you love. You might even call membership a kind of music insurance. So if you enjoy the music on Jazz 90.1, make it a policy to become a member or renew your membership by calling 966-5299.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
What's going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Greece Odyssey Academy's Music and Drama Department, presenting Rags, February 18th through 21st.
Written by Fiddle Around the Roof author Joseph Stein, this musical tells the chapter of life for immigrants leaving Europe seeking the rags-to-riches American dream. Shows run February 18 to 21 at Greece Olympia High School Auditorium, located at 1139 Maiden Lane in Greece. The Saturday night performance will also offer an interpreter for the deaf and hard of hearing. Tickets are available at www.showticksforyou.com, at Wegmans, and at the door. For more information, you may call 966-7947.
Hi, this is Jeff Harris. Join me every Sunday night from 5 to 7 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I'm just listening to music. I like this one.
Might as well jump.
All right, we're back, everybody. Might as well jump. We're back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. All right, kiddies. Here it is. Grab your footy jammies, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. Because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Okay, Lucy Lou, I'm going to make it easy, not only for you, but everybody else. I know I keep going on and on about this, but we've had a number of folks, especially now since we are getting out to various cities and towns all over the U.S. and who knows where else. They keep emailing me, well, I filled out my form to get into the Soundbites form, and why isn't it active? And I'll put it back to them, all right, what username, city, and state did you put in? Well, I don't want to give out that information. Well, then how the heck do I know that you're real? I, on an average day, get over 50 robots trying to sign up to get into the Soundbites forum. These robots, folks, would be more appalling to you because what all they want to do is post porn ads and everything else. That's all the robot wants to do. They get accepted, boom. But we put a block into it that says, no, we got to verify you. And you know, all I ask is that you put in a legitimate city and state. But here, we're going to make it even easier. Because a lot of folks say, well, I don't want people to know where I'm going to live. Here's the solution.
It doesn't say you have to put it in the right one.
Put in Soundbites, comma, New York. If you put in Soundbites, comma, New York, if you don't want to put in your city and state, afraid that we're going to give it out like I really care, or even if I put in Rochester, how the heck am I going to find you?
We're
going to
track down Ted from Fairport.
Yes.
Hey, I know it.
Just put in Soundbites, comma, New York. That way I know you're legit.
I'm going to track down Big Guy 43 from Penfield.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Where the heck do they live? You know, and
I thought you lived in the city.
Yeah,
I have had at least four of them, and you know when I sit there and say, "What you? Oh, I forgot. Here's, could you fill that out?" Yeah, I can, but you know, don't cop an attitude just because I'm trying to protect the rest of the people in the forum.
It's amazing how many hundreds of robots attack the forums. We've had the same problem on the Soundbites forums, the Apple Cider
forums. I guarantee
forums.
You, since we started this new procedure, if Nick was to take a look at the total log of people that have tried to sign up, say in the past year, just the past year, 97% of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
90%, absolutely. 97% of the names that are on that list for the past year are bogus. Because literally, I have over a page, which is 50 names on a page, in the course of a day. On an average day, there could be more that are literally bogus. And all they want to do is inundate the form with porn, ads for Viagra or health insurance, and you know, you name it, they want to put it in there.
It's bad enough that the forum sign up includes all that crap. So you're sort of forced to read it to realize that's a fake person.
All right, exactly.
And we did this to help protect you folks, because for you folks that are new to the forum, for the longest time, Nick and I would constantly get calls or anything. Oh, there's a spammer in there, and he's just inundating, and we have to take the time to go in and clean out that. So we have literally stopped it all. They are not, because unless we approve them,
well,
they don't get in.
99% of it.
Yeah.
Once in a while, somebody flops through.
But. Yeah. Well, you know, our percentages are really up. Yeah. So, you know, if you folks are that concerned and you want to know that, you know, so that I know that you're real and don't want to put in a city or state, I'll make it easy. Just put in soundbites, New York. And for a webpage, just put soundbites.org.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you can create your bogus name or whatever. I'm not going to come and hunt you down. I got plenty of other things to do in my life.
You're right.
Grandchildren and everything else keep me busy, so I don't have to go there.
Right.
Oh.
All right,
so unless we go to your town and the sign says population 1, we can't find you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, kiddies, that's it. Put your empty cocoa mugs in the sink. Get out of your footy jammies. When you have Uncle Dave's shot, put him back on the shelf for another week. This has been another episode of Uncle Dave's Story Hour.
But I feel better.
There you go. And look at us on the Ustream here. www.ustreamtv/channel/sound-bites-radio. I will get that as part of the little thing that comes up.
Another thing on the front page.
Yet another thing on the front page. No, but the, yeah, it's exactly right.
Nobody, well, you were talking about redoing the whole webpage anyways, weren't you?
I've been talking about it, but it's probably not going to happen now. But here's the deal.
What, you want a life?
I have a life, and I'm trying to live it. Here's the deal. I did, as somebody made a suggestion that we add a link to the Security Tango, because apparently people can't figure out that securitytango.com is where the Security Tango is. But, okay, I put that link up. I put that link up. Everybody wants everything right at the top of the front page.
That picture is now a link.
That's right. Get over it. Get over it. That's the way it's going to be from now on. I don't care. You don't like it? What, should I put a big sign that says, click on the freaking picture?
Yeah.
Probably.
And do you
here.
Do people realize that those pictures at the top are also links?
I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I don't care. If when they roll over them and the cursor turns into a little hand and they still can't figure it out, I don't care.
Picnic.
Exactly. So I've done that. And then during the show itself, the front page changes. During the show itself, it shows a bunch of links for where you can get hold of us and during the show. And so, you know, the IRC chat is listed and what the phone numbers are and a couple of other things. And now I'll be adding the Ustream to it as well. I'm just very excited about this. Look at it. It works great. And, of course, it's all coming out of Steve's Mac. Yet another win for the Mac is what we're seeing there. So that's all pretty neat. And there's a chat there. So now we got too many chats. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Ustream. I'm on IRC.
Say is don't expect to see me there because I've got enough to keep me busy.
You got enough to keep you busy here. I mean,
I got a Mac here in the middle. I don't know.
You don't know how to use it. And
well, I get
apparently
it.
If you do, it suddenly goes out over the air. So thank God that Rob is on a cruise somewhere. And didn't hear that.
Well, because that's the Mac that most of the music is hosted on.
Yeah, so. I don't know what you were doing over there playing with it.
Well, that's where automation is, and that's where I can also work with.
So one of those sliders will pot that down so it's not on the air.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but then probably
No. That would have been separate. I can take this one down.
Yeah, don't play with it. Yeah.
No, by taking down the automation.
Yeah. See, Dave just likes all those knobs and sliders and buttons.
Yeah.
I got them nailed down.
They're pretty.
Now.
There's yellow and red, and it's lovely.
Well, for you other folks, I don't know if they really care, but I had the chance to fill in for Laurel Ann on Thursday. My wife and I came in, and we did the Thursday night show. And I think every other week now, while she's out on maternity leave, she's due to have a baby. And she's
That's
the one,
what maternity leave usually means.
Sooner, though, than we thought. So she's leaving for this time, and Rob and I and my wife, I think, are going to alternate taking over on Thursdays, and we had fun because we don't know much about jazz. We're just getting into it and having fun. You talk about the speakers. We literally had these speakers work good here in the studio.
Yeah, they do.
I found that out because I literally had a couple of artists that I really liked, cranked them on up, and I could hear them over in the library. We were just having a great time.
Yep. So, I love jazz, but I listen to more traditional jazz, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of the new artists. Stan Getz, Dizzy Gillespie, mm-hmm. Thelonious Monk, those are the people I know.
Yeah, well, they've been turning this loose in the library, and they say, because you get so many picks, and I go, ooh, this huge room full of all this great jazz, and because I don't know a lot of the artists, we go ahead and Lori and I'll grab this record or this record. And it's like, okay, we'll play it.
Right.
And we're having fun with it. So,
all right. On Wednesday, Mozilla released updates for its Firefox web browser to shore up vulnerabilities in the 3.5X and 3.0X browser versions. Three critical flaws all involve memory-related errors that could potentially allow an attacker to run any command on a victim PC. According to the advisory, the holes are already fixed in the recently released Firefox 3.6. The patch has also fixed two other flaws that could lead to cross-site scripting attacks, but are only rated moderate. The updates are available for Windows, Mac, and Linux, and will bump up the browser version to 3.58 or 3.0.18. If you haven't already seen the automatic update pop up, head over to help. Go to your help menu, select check for updates, and get the patch. So our question to you, are you happy with Firefox? If not, what's your favorite browser and why? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And in the meantime, we will go to the mailbag.
Yeah, grab another question. So we've got about another minute or so.
Yeah, I am wondering how to get a song off of a DVD. Oh, I love this one. I own Firefly, the complete series, the Firefly soundtrack, and the Serenity DVD. I say this so you will know that I bought everything I can think of, and I have no desire to illegally obtain anything. The soundtrack does not contain the wonderful song, The Man They Call Jane. How can it not? Is there a way I can copy it from the episode and put it on my computer? I'm not very savvy at all, so please explain carefully. Thanks, guys. Cindy from Queensbury, New York. Queensbury rules, man. Queensbury
rules.
Rules.
Queensbury
never
rules.
Queensbury,
fisticuffs.
Yeah. Never mind. Cheese and crackers. Steve?
Well, the music industry would say you can't buy the CD that has that song on it, and if it doesn't have it, you're out of luck. There are several programs you can download, some free, some commercial, for ripping audio from a DVD, and I'm posting a link from Lifehacker, which is a really cool website for hacking pretty much everything in your life to be able to do that. And a lot of times you'll have movies that you want soundtracks out of. Of course, the bottom line is just hold a tape recorder up to the speakers.
Yeah, that's such high quality.
Yeah, the analog hole, we call that. But yeah, so there's a link posted for how to rip audio out of DVDs.
All right, Cindy, you can grab that link off our website at soundbites.org. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break.
The end.
Holy mother of pearl! We're done for another week.
Time goes by fast when you're having fun.
As time goes by, you must remember this. We're done for another week. All right, want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. You've been listening to the longest running, except for this hour when it was ridiculously short, longest running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbite. We're online. We're on Ustream. We're on every dang thing there is. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Have fun.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.